Bachelor. This is the new John Bachelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. Major League Baseball. It is December 2018. Mary parks a column that waits, waits, and waits for its very careful irony here in 2021. The column is about a decision by Major League Baseball, then led by a man named Rob Manfred, the commissioner, who inherited the post from Bud Selig in 2015. A decision made by Major League Baseball to traffic with the Castro regime. There are other verbs, but I'm going to stick with traffic. Mary, a very good evening to you. What was the decision in 2018 made by Major League Baseball? It was interrupted by the Trump administration, but baseball was okay with what looks to be organized indentured servitude. Good evening to you, Mary.
Well, good evening, John. Yes, I wrote this column because, Major League Baseball has made a great issue out of a new voting law in Georgia. And it has taken the stand supposedly because it's very concerned about racial justice. But back in 2018, Major League Baseball cut a deal with Raul Castro of Cuba, in which Raul Castro would finally allow Cubans to leave the island freely and go to the United States and enter into contracts with Major League Baseball. But in return, Major League Baseball would garnish their salaries, meaning take a portion of them and send that money back to Raul Castro. And, you know, as I mentioned in 2018, this is no different than the human trafficking networks that the Cubans have set up with doctors and healthcare workers around the world. Since they don't produce anything in Cuba except for, you know, human beings that want to leave, their big export product is human beings. And when they export human beings, they expect to be paid for it. That's bad enough. I mean, that's a dictatorship. But the fact that Major League Baseball was going along with it, I found quite objectionable.
What's striking about this, Mary, I've been reading about Major League Baseball in China, and I don't need to go into the details, but it's the same thought that somehow belief is suspended because it's baseball and they can make deals with dictatorships, brutal dictatorships that persecute their own people. And in this instance, you're evidencing not only persecute them, but robbing them, as selling their talents and keeping the money. And I can suppose the leverage they have is they have their families still in Cuba, so they better obey and not run.
Well, the thing is, if they make the deal with Major League Baseball, they have no choice of not obeying. I mean, Major League Baseball is going to be the one that takes part of their salaries and sends it to the regime. And as you correctly point out, I mean, this is like treating these people like the property of Raul Castro. And it's just mind-boggling that the Baseball League, which claim, and by the way, most of these ball players are black, and the regime is a bunch of old white men in Havana, and Major League Baseball is going along with treating these people like the property of Raul Castro, as if he owns them.
The deal did not go through because the Trump administration intervened. However, that doesn't mean the deal's off the table. What is San Ysidro? You mentioned these are African American influenced Cubans. However, that seems to be a significant factor you've written about over the years, the persecution of Cubans who are of African-American descent.
Well, the group in San Ysidro, the San Ysidro movement, is not organized according to race. Cuba is a very interracial society. So they don't organize themselves as, you know, we are black Cubans or we are, you know, African, Afro-Cubans, as they call themselves. They organize themselves as writers, intellectuals, artists, academics who are asking for free speech and freedom of conscience. And they just happen to be overwhelmingly people of color. But their complaint, their cry is for intellectual freedom and artistic freedom. And they have become sort of an important, the other thing that's really important about them is generational. I mean, you know, when I was in Cuba in 98, I noticed that a lot of the people who were sort of baby boomers and people who had been part of the so-called revolution were very wedded to it. And I think they felt like they, if they were to admit that it hadn't worked and it had been a disaster for Cubans, they would be admitting that everything they believed in their whole life was wrong. So they weren't able to let go of that. But a new generation of Cubans looks around and they see the, you know, that society has been basically obliterated. Civil society can't, you know, isn't free to operate. There's no intellectual or artistic freedom. And why don't they have this freedom? Because a bunch of old men, you know, in the running the dictatorship are keeping them from having that freedom. So this movement is also generational. And in that respect, it resonates across the island because there's a whole bunch of Cubans who weren't even born. They don't have this capacity in their brains to venerate Fidel Castro. What they know is that the island is in ruins and they are not able to participate with the rest of the world in music and art and all the things that young people all around the world want to do. So they're calling, they're asking for this freedom. And, you know, I feel that they really need international help. They need solidarity with the rest of the world. And when the Major League Baseball makes deals with the dictatorship, that isolates the dissidents. It's like they feel like, you know, that the rest of the world is not hearing them. And I find this very objectionable.
Two baseball games. One took place in 1999. The Baltimore Orioles, the owner Peter Angelos, but in the stands watching the game in Cuba was the then commissioner of Major League Baseball, Bud Selig, who Mr. Manfred succeeded, along with Fidel Castro and Ted Turner, who had been an owner of the Atlanta Braves and CNN founder. That's one baseball game in 1999, while Fidel Castro and Raul Castro run a brutal dictatorship. The second baseball game took place, you all remember it vividly, during the Obama administration in March of 2016, when the president, the first lady, sat with Raul Castro and watched a baseball game. Those two baseball games, Mary, they gave permission to the regime to brutalize the whole island and to export their propaganda with no mitigation. Again, why this column is helpful is to understand that Major League Baseball has been confiding in the Cuban and the Castro regime for decades. And yet we see this present hypocrisy about Georgia.
Yes, I mean, I think that picture of Peter Angelos with Fidel Castro says it all, really, because this idea that Castro was somehow cool, that he uplifted black Cubans, that he, you know, somehow brought education and healthcare to the island, which of course we know is not true. I mean, the only good thing that the regime did probably was Cubans are very slim. I mean, they don't have excess weight because they don't have much food. So that probably has helped them in terms of living longer. But, you know, the idea of that Fidel Castro did some good for the island, A, is a lie, and B, you know, is that a trade that you want to make, that people are shot, their property is taken away from them, they're put in dungeons, they're tortured, you know, just to have supposedly this better health care? I don't think that's a trade that most human beings would make. And yet, you know, there was Fidel Castro sitting next to Angelos as if he was a normal political figure. And that was, I think, very damaging to the dissident movement. And it continued when Barack Obama did the wave with Raul Castro. Fidel was already dead, obviously. When he went to Cuba, again, very difficult for the dissidents on the island because they are clamoring for international solidarity with their cause. They need that help. Otherwise, they're going to be crushed.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady. She is the America's editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal. A column in 2018 explains the column here in 2021. It does not explain the remarks by the former president about Georgia at the same time sitting next to a dictator whose brother, the dictator, is dead in 2016. Does not explain it. But then again, history is about irony. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.